Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship in your house. Thank you for being there with us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that you will help us to see what it has to say, take it to heart, and live it day by day. We pray, O God, you'll be with the rest of this service and with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 22 through 29. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. We find here Jesus speaking again, not only to his disciples, but to those around him, and telling about his glory, and also telling about salvation in the fullest. Starting at John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Heavenly Father, these were thy holy words. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. First, we'll go back when we were repeating the creed. How many was praying the creed? You noticed that we left out descended into hell. And I could hear a pause, and we were down the line a ways before it was picked up. I want to explain just a little bit. If you study the creed, as you should, and as we study the creed, we find that the original creed, which is a statement of what the disciples believed, and the early church put it into a creed, so in a nutshell, if you want to put it that way, or a few words, we could say everything we believed and what the Christian stood for. The original creed did not have descended into hell in it. That came in sometime after 360 AD, and it was added twice, or changed, I should say. It was added and then it was changed. The original edition said descended into the grave. And some people didn't agree with that because they said he was in a tomb and not a grave. And so it was changed, descended into hell. That one little statement or sentence was not in the original creed. So this morning I purposely left it out, and to see what people would think. And I know I'm sure some people are thinking he is not reading right. And so that's why I did it, because Christ was laid in the grave, but he was not descended into hell as far as we know. When did he go and preach to those in prison, as Peter says? We aren't sure. Was it during that time or not? It doesn't say. It has been taken for granted that was the time. And yet the question comes when he told the man on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Did he go to heaven and then go to hell and preach or not? We aren't told that. But we are told to believe the Word of God. And God has not told us everything he's doing or has done or will do, but he has given us enough information that if we believe in his Son, we will have eternal life. And believing in his Son, we will then not only worship Christ as a Son of the living God, but we will also worship Christ as our Lord and Savior, who died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And as we look at the Old Testament lesson today, we find that God is telling us that Christ would come, he would take up the lambs or the weak in Christ, the weak that have maybe just become new Christians, and he would take and watch over them. Yes, God is all merciful. God is all compassionate. And God's grace is sufficient for each one of us, as he told Paul, when Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed from his side. We don't know what that thorn was. We suspect, and we could probably be right, but it is not told us for sure. So we see that we stand before God, who is almighty. In Hebrews, and as we look in Hebrews, we find there that God is speaking, and as he is speaking to the writer that wrote to Hebrews, he says, "I want you to know God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Those of you who have been in service or worked with machetes, we know what machetes will do. They will basically cut through anything and everything. They are sharp, and I mean sharp. You don't want to get in the way of one of them, and you don't want to get struck by their blade. We find that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We are told in Ephesians to take on the helmet of salvation, which is having Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, having Christ as the one that we worship, having Christ as the one that we go to, because he is the one that has saved us, he is the one that is watching over us, he is the one that has sent us the Holy Spirit to live in us, and he is the one that will keep us in peace, spiritual peace. We find that the first Adam that died, died in the flesh, or by the law. The second Adam, which is Jesus Christ himself, has given us the spiritual life and the lifeline of life for eternity. You see, the physical man died when Adam and Eve sinned. And the physical man told Satan, "You take over because I can't do it." Or he was just willing to give in because he wasn't strong enough in himself to say no to Satan. Jesus was tempted by God, or not by God, but by the devil, three times. And he says, "It is written. The Word of God says this." And he quoted it three times out of Deuteronomy. And he tells Satan, "Every man will live by the Word of God." We live by the Word of God. God's Word does not change. It never will. And so we see that if Satan attacks us, and he has attacked us many, many places within the United States and throughout the world, and he's attacking even this community as we sit in church and pray and ask God to watch over us, he has given us a sanctuary in which we can come together, uplift one another, and encourage one another to stand for him and to greet one another. And as we encourage one another, we uplift them in prayer as well as in song. We pray, God, you are the one to lead us and keep us, and you are the one that has given us salvation, because, Lord Jesus, you died on Calvary's cross for us. You are the one that gave your life. You are the one that stood before Pilate and took that beating. You're the one that told Pilate your kingdom was not of this world, but was one of the world to come, the spiritual world of eternity, where you and I will spend eternity when we leave this earth. We find physically we will die, and physically we are given so many days to live. Physically, when our spirit leaves our body here, we will find it will be either in heaven or in hell. We find that if we follow Christ and have him as our personal Lord and Savior, we will be blessed forever and forever. But if we deny him, Christ says, I will deny you. But if you profess me before man, I will profess you. And so we see there is only one of two roads in which to travel. We either travel the one following Christ and doing his will, or we follow the one that leads away from heaven and into condemnation or into hell itself. We find that the word hell is not used much anymore, and we find people don't preach condemnation. Yet Jesus talked much about it, and he talked much about those who would not follow him and would not accept him as a personal Son of God. We find in John, of course, 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us all he had to save us. God says, I would that all people would come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. He says, my mercy is not slack, and I will do what I can to convert or to make people choose to follow and come after Christ. But there are some that will not do that, and there are some who will do it for a while and fall away. Yet we have to pray for them that they would have strength to keep on. When we see trials coming upon the world, we find that we have to turn to Christ, not to ourselves, not to the knowledge we might have, but turn to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. Satan is buffeting me. Satan is trying to attack me. And Satan is doing what he can to drive me a wedge between me and you. And we find God tells us, stand strong and stand fast in the faith of having Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. A Pew Research did a study a while ago, and they didn't say how many people that they had interviewed or had in their survey. But they said one-third of these people believed in psychics and in reincarnation. There is not reincarnation as taught in the Hindu language or in the Buddha or anything like that. The place we go when we die here is either heaven or hell. We find that the rich man in the parable Jesus gave woke up in hell. Lazarus had died and went to heaven. The rich man woke up. He looked up and he seen Lazarus, the man that had been at his gate or by his table, picking up the crumbs that he dropped in order to survive. And he says, Abraham, Father Abraham, he knows that he's a descendant of Abraham. He wants him to come and dip his finger in cold water and put it on his tongue. He says, because of the torment in this place. In Revelation chapter 19, it tells us that at the great white throne judgment, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ and who have rejected him, their names will be crossed out of the book of life, and they would be cast with the devil himself into the lake of fire, which burns, it says, forever and forever. You see, God is not putting you into hell. You are putting yourself there because you do not believe. And if you read the scripture of today, even, Jesus says it very plainly. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who hears me, hears my word, and believes in him who sent me will have everlasting life. If you don't believe that, you fall into the verse of John 3:18. It says, those who believe in Christ will have everlasting life. But those who do not believe in Christ, and that don't have Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are condemned already. Why? Because they do not believe. God didn't condemn them. They have condemned themselves. They have chose to go against God. There was some 31,000 youth this summer that met for a youth rally. And I want to only say a little bit about it. Of those 31,000 youth, which could have been praising God and denying Satan and saying God is right and we want to follow him, we find they had a couple speakers there. One of them was a pastor, Love is her name, and she has claimed to be a witch. And she has started a school for witches. And she says, witches can get into heaven because we are doing what's right. And we feel so good about ourselves that there's nothing wrong. And so she has started that. In Revelation chapter 20, it tells us that witchcraft or sorcery will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but they will be in eternal condemnation. Then there was another lady there, a minister by the name of Weber, and she is one known for her tattoos and so forth, and she desecrates the Word of God to no end. And she has resigned her post from her church in Colorado, and she says, I have so many people that want me to come and speak the truth. And her truth is not something you would read in Scripture. She is against God, and she's against everything God stands for. She claims to be a child of God because she calls God every evil name in the book. And she thinks it's funny, I guess. But we find those types of people will never get into heaven. We find God warning them and God warning us as Christians to be willing to stand up, to be willing to be made fun of if we have to, for his son Jesus, because Jesus was given all power in heaven and on earth. And it's through Jesus and through the cross of Calvary that Jesus not only forgave our sins, but he died for each one of us. Can you imagine him being tied to a post and whipped 39 times, tearing the skin off of his body and making him almost unrecognizable? And he did it for you and for me. He did it so that we could believe in him and trust in him, and that by doing that and believing that God sent him into the world, as it tells us in John, that he did it for us. And that if we live for him that way, he will definitely take and confess before God and the holy angels that we are his children. But if we deny him, he says, I will deny you. You see, Jesus tells us in Scripture that when we die and in eternity, we will be like the angels in heaven. And we will be the sons of God or the sons of man in righteousness because we stood up for Jesus Christ. And we stood up and had him as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, when we were in Branson, we went to the story of Samson, and it was pretty close to Scripture. And in that Scripture, it shows us how Samson defied God, and yet he was supposed to be one of the judges of Israel. Yet in his death, God gave him the power to take and destroy 3,500 Philistines as he pushed down the temple and pushed down the pillars that was holding the temple up. And it says in his death, he did more to destroy the evil that was in the world of that day than anybody else that had lived up to that point. Samson had his own way about himself. And he wanted his own glory. And he would not listen to his folks, and they wanted him to be a judge like he should have been. Yet he went to the Philistines and joined with the evil. God did bless him when he came to God after his eyes had been put out and after he had been captured and he repented of what he had done wrong. And God led him to help bring the Philistine end to the rule of the Jews of that day. God will help us if we watch over and keep coming to him, asking him to guide us and to keep us. We find that in this Pew research that 24% of those people that they viewed believes in astrology or the stars, and they look to the stars for their guidance. This is not right. We are to look to Christ. We are to look and find that Jesus is the one that leads us into heaven. Jesus is the one that keeps us in his power as we take on the helmet of salvation and as we take the Word of God, which is a sword of the Spirit, with us. Learn, study, read, pray, and God will definitely watch over each one of us and keep us in his care. God will then keep us and help us as we go along. And Jesus says, remember, if they reject you, they have rejected me. And God said, told Jeremiah, and some of the other prophets, remember, they aren't rejecting you, they are rejecting me, because I have told you what you should tell them. God today speaks to us through Scripture. And as we went to the College of the Ozarks, which is down by Branson. The minister there is a retired Presbyterian minister. He's is elderly, and they have to have 14 hours of chapel a day at that chapel on the college campus. They cannot go downtown, and they can go downtown and worship in their own churches if they want, but they have to have 14 hours in 2 weeks in their chapel on campus. And that Presbyterian minister, we asked, what book do you use for teaching? And he says, I have the Holy Scriptures. That is our lesson book. If it's not written in there, we don't teach it. We teach the Word of God, inerrant, infallible, and that's what we teach. And it's for the best, because we stick solely to the Word of God. And this is what we have to do as Christians today also, that we preach the Word of God, that we stand up for the Word of God, and that by believing in Christ, we find that we have Christ living in us. Jesus says that the time will come when all will hear his voice and come back to life. We find that in Revelation chapter, I think it's chapter 12 or 14, when the sickle is thrown in and the harvest of the world is taking place. We call it the rapture. Those that hear the Word of God, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, that as they hear the Word of God, they will raise from the dead. And all of us that are living at that time, we will be caught up in the air with those that have lived for Christ and died physically. They will be raised from the dead. We will meet them in the air, and it says we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be like Christ. We'll put off the mortal image we have, and we'll put on immortality, and we will live then forever and forever. We will find that we don't look to the stars. We will find that there's no reincarnation, but we have only one thing, and that Jesus is Lord of our life, and he is now giving to us the reward of the work we have done for him, giving him all credit, and we get none. We do not believe in seances. We do not believe in witchcraft, because that is all part of Satan. Yet we find that believing in the Bible and trusting in the Bible, God says, I can give you healing powers. I can give you the words to stand by. And if we heal and have healing services for people that are sick and believe without doubting, God says, I can heal when it's to glorify my holy name. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for our Lord and Savior Jesus, who came and gave himself on Calvary's cross for us. We find then as the last trumpet blows, all those who know Christ will be raised from the dead, and they will be forever with Christ. Those who do not know Christ will live later, 1,000 years later. They will come to life, and they will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And it tells us there in Revelation 19 that because their names are not written in the book of life, they will be cast into the fires of hell, along with the devil and his angels. I pray that each of our hearts and our minds would be with Christ and on Christ, that Jesus would be first, for his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto God the Father except through him. We also know that we do not have to go by man's way, but by God's way, and God's way is the truth. We know God will watch over us and keep us and help us to go call upon him day by day. Therefore, we should honor Christ because all power has been given unto him. We should honor him because God sent him into the world to die for our sins. We should honor him in all that we say or do because he is our Lord and Savior, the one that keeps us from condemnation, and that we would have eternal life through him. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us and watch over us. Keep us, O God, in your care, and help us, O Lord, to serve you and give all glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to 153.
Shelter.